Monday means it's time for Dick Weiss, who today we find in Seattle. Good morning this morning.
Good morning, McGraw. How are you?
How was your last week we talked to you, you were in Florida, right? No, you're in Scottsdale.
Yeah, I was in Arizona.
Right.
And I'll be heading over from here to Denver and then Minneapolis, and I'll be home around Valentine's Day.
Nice. Not bad. All right, so you're on your world tour, if you will, you are promoting your new album. Weissright.com is your website, Weissright.com, and you are affiliated with STLBeacon.org, which, if you're not checking out on a daily basis, shame on you. Some big news, Dick Weiss, with STLBeacon.org. Joe Manis is the newest coup for you guys?
The Beacon has plucked the Missouri's premier political reporter from the Post-Dispatch. Joe Manis is now working for the St. Louis Beacon, and she's got decades of experience covering politics and a great track record, and we're really pleased to have her on board.
She was the one who took this latest, I don't know if it was a buyout or downsizing or whatever it was, right? She was part of that December massacre.
Yeah, she actually retired. There were some people who were laid off according to seniority, a couple of junior-most members, but the option was available for anybody to retire, and if they did, then some of the junior members could rejoin the staff. So Joe retired, but was still affiliated as a kind of a freelancer for the Post-Dispatch, continuing her political fix column, which she invented. But now she's joined us.
Right. How is the STLBeacon.org? How are they doing?
We're doing great. Our numbers keep going up. Web hits, so we're still in the multi-thousands, not in the millions or zillions yet.
Right.
It keeps building.
So everybody's happy.
Yeah, we're pretty pretty enthusiastic, and we're attracting some grants and financial support, so we're good for a while.
Right, and it should also be noted that the Pulitzer Foundation and the Danforth Foundation made a couple of nice grants to that as well, right?
Yeah, I'm not sure we'd say the foundations. Actually, individuals, William Danforth is a donor, and Emily Pulitzer is. I'm not quite sure if it comes out of the foundation or just out of their pockets.
Gotcha. Out of their change purse or something. Yeah. Speaking of the Post-Dispatch, are they asking managers to take a week off?
Yeah. AP just has a story. I was confirming it Friday that the Post-Dispatch is going to require all non-union employees to take a one-week unpaid furlough, and that's about 300 folks. And a week's pay, you know, that's a grand, a little bit more than a grand for most of them. And so that hurts. And then the AP report says that the guild, union members, will also be asked to participate in the furlough, but that hasn't happened yet.
Is it all of Lee Enterprises, or is it just the St. Louis?
Just the Post-Dispatch, the story says.
Really?
Just the Post-Dispatch.
Because the other story is that they came out recently and said that they're not going to be able to make their interest payment on the loan come next time around.
Now they got an extension in terms of negotiating or renegotiating that. So that's still hanging in the balance. The other hit that employees are taking is that the newspaper suspended its match for its 401k program.
Right.
And
now
all raises have been frozen.
Except for bonuses for the CEO, right?
Well, actually, I think that went by the boards as well this past week.
Oh, so it's tough all around.
They're all in it together.
Now, let me ask you this question. I know you're not a financial analyst, and you were a longtime editor down there. I still have a lot of friends down there.
I was in charge of spending.
A lot of these things, you know, is there light at the end of the tunnel, or are these just, you know, putting your finger into the dike?
At the moment, it looks like a finger in the dike kind of situation until a couple of things happen. One is that the economic downturn abates, and say car sales go up, and shopping and retail stores begins to go up, and those people are encouraged to do more advertising, spend more on advertising. And the other part, of course, is the business model, whether newspapers, the old line media, can figure out how to make online profitable, or how to make it pay enough so that as the print edition begins to disappear, and I think it increasingly will, that they can still bring some money in. I think what is going to happen is that entrepreneurs, information, of course, is still valuable and people want it. Entrepreneurs will come in and they will find a way to make make some money. And the old line media, which are a little bit beset by all the old ways of thinking and union contracts and things like that, I think they'll begin to die off somewhat. So I'm not so sure that Lee Enterprises will be a player in 10 years, but somebody else will. Somebody will be providing information in the St. Louis market.
You're in Seattle, and the Seattle Post-Intelligencer, I think, is going out of business, are they not?
You know, the last I heard was that it's for sale, and if they don't sell, they don't get somebody to buy it, then, yeah, no more.
Right, yeah. Now, that is that still a two newspaper town?
Yeah, they have the Seattle Times here. Okay. And the Intelligencer, and the one's an afternoon, and one's a morning, I believe.
Wow, afternoon paper. That's old school, baby.
Yeah.
but not all good news, not all bad news in the newspaper business, in the magazine business. Say it ain't so. Mad Magazine is in trouble?
Mad Magazine, the venerable humor magazine, announced that starting with issue 500 in April, it will move to a quarterly publication.
Wait a minute. They've only had 500 of them? Can that be? That can't be, right?
I don't know. That's what the little report says.
I mean, well,
it's 500 in...
It was a monthly magazine, right?
The monthly. I mean, we all read it as kids.
So I guess that's about right. 30 years, 40
the
years?
The magazine's version for younger readers, Mad Kids, will cease publication with the issue on sale February 17th, while the final issue of Mad Classics will go on sale March 17th.
And is this any correlation to President Bush no longer being in office because he is the spinning image of
no
Alfred E. Newman? Yes. he was
true.
Alfred
E. Newman.
He does
look a lot like Alfred E. Newman.
Yes, he does. You know what? As a kid, I loved Mad Magazine.
Yes.
Now it's going to be quarterly. And,
well, you know, running in tandem for our affections, of course, was Playboy.
Well, I like that as I got a little older.
Yeah, you just read the jokes, right? they're in trouble, too.
How can
they have a write-down of more than 100 million, and they're going to consolidate their online and print operations to shore up their business, and they're closing their editorial office in New York. But they're still putting out a magazine, thank God.
Well, a $100 million charge-off, that's a lot of money, and Playboy, you would think, is in a recession-proof business.
You would think, and perhaps eligible for a bailout. What do you think?
Yeah, them and the media, I don't think are going to happen anytime soon. What did you think of your buddy Kurt Warner yesterday?
Well, I thought it was a sensational game. Of course, that throw at the end of the half and that journey
right
down the sideline was a terrific a moment. Not for Kurt, certainly, and it was apparently the game changer. But you know, the fact that he's so good at bringing the team back and, you know, indomitable, and it's just a shame that it couldn't end well for him. I think. Weren't we all rooting for him?
I think St. Louis was all. I mean, you couldn't ask for more. You had Kurt Warner, and then you had the Arizona Cardinals, which I think you'd probably know this better than I would. But I think the wound of them leaving has since been healed.
Yeah, I think. Well, you know, I don't know that there are all that many people who have a great deal of affection for Billy Bidwell.
Right.
But for everybody else in the organization, and you know, just seeing the Cardinal red in the Super Bowl, and you know, performing really well.
Right.
They were. They're moving the ball up and down the field, and it made you think of the days of Terry Metcalf and you know, Deardorff and Hart. It was a great game.
You know, a lot of people say they don't like Bidwell, but some people say that he was the nicest, most charitable man that you would ever want to meet.
Yeah, he just didn't want anybody to know.
Right. Yeah, which really is quite fascinating, because in this world that's media-driven and all hype and all PR, here's a man who didn't mind having a bad reputation, but it turned out he was a really nice guy.
Yeah, you know, the one thing I noticed was that the announcers, I think I was tuned in, heard, you know, the whole game, and I didn't hear the pregame or the postgame, but Al Michaels and John Mann did not seem to go out of their way to say anything nice about Bill Bidwell. Did you notice that? Did you hear anything?
Now, there's a portion of the third quarter that I got sick to my stomach that I couldn't watch, so I turned the channel and turned back, I don't know, 10 minutes left in the fourth quarter or so. So I didn't catch it all. But they were fawning over themselves when they're talking about the Rooney family.
Right.
And the Steelers.
They've always had a great reputation. I'm sure it's deserved, but I think conspicuous by its absence was really any comment at all about Bill Bidwell and his family.
Yeah.
I noticed that.
What do you make as a media guy? You keep abreast of these things. Another story this time around where Jennifer Hudson lip sank the national anthem. Do we really care?
Oh my goodness! Did that happen?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, everything. You know, I cut her some slack. She's gone through.
But Faith Hill and her rendition of "God Bless America." It was the whole thing was staged except for Springsteen at halftime.
Yeah. I hadn't heard that.
Do we care as a media person?
I don't care all that much, but for a particular song like Star Spangled Banner, Springsteen had been lip syncing. Boy, that would have been a scandal. and wasn't he terrific?
He was fantastic. I just wish I was in a better mood to enjoy it.
And I think he was he went over his 12 minutes, didn't he?
Did he? I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I was kind of thinking, gee, this is kind of going long, and then he kind of mentions overtime.
Well, but you had Itzhak Perlman and Yo-Yo Ma being faked during the inauguration. Now you find out this is all faked. I mean, do people really care that it was pre-recorded?
I don't much care because just as long as it sounds good coming over my speakers.
Right. Yeah.
And of course, you get to our age, we're half deaf anyway. So
I thought Springsteen. Did you happen to see his Costas' interview with Springsteen?
No, I didn't see that.
It was really quite good. Bob asks him, you've been asked year after year after year to do the halftime at the Super Bowl. Why finally this year did you agree to do this? And Springsteen says, I have an album to sell.
I did hear that. Yeah, I think the thing about Springsteen, and I think why it's important for him to be live is that. Everybody considers him the real deal. He's very
right.
authentic
right.
in terms of where he came from and his lyrics and so on. And so that's pretty important. I think we look at some of the other people. Well, they're performers, but we don't identify with them maybe quite as strongly as we do with the boss.
And you could clearly tell that Costas and Collinsworth and Brian Williams and all those guys were tickled. That they either got to meet Springsteen
yeah.
or watch him live. I mean, I thought that they couldn't hide the happiness they were feeling. Getting
right, they were in
that.
His thrall.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Is that something?
Yeah, yeah. It was quite. Bob will tell you the story that when he had McCarthy on his show later. There was a couple of this. Hey guys, check me out. I'm interviewing Paul McCartney. But there was a couple of moments yesterday where they all were like, hey, Springsteen's coming up. All right. Woo-hoo. And lastly, before we go any further, Dick Weiss, media critic extraordinaire. Did you happen to see Michael Phelps's picture in the newspaper?
Oh, yeah. That was quite something, old Michael.
Yes. In a British tabloid, it's him smoking a bong.
Yes.
Using your professional news judgment. Is that newsworthy?
Yeah, I think so, just because it's so at odds with the image.
Right.
Although he did apparently have a DWI when he was 19 years old.
A couple of years ago, yeah.
I think what's amazing is that he can do all that and still win all those medals.
Now,
what's going on there?
Now, are you shocked that a British newspaper published it?
Not at all.
No. I mean, I'm surprised nobody in America got to it first, I guess, is my question.
Yeah, I can't account for that. I'm sure that the New York Post would have loved it, People Magazine.
So you're saying if this picture came across your desk as an editor, you'd say, print it, let's do it.
Yeah, that's just it. With the business model going south, we can't afford to all these investigative reporters to look into the Michael Phelps affairs anymore. It's
right.
A really sad thing.
All right, Dick Weiss, have a safe trip in Seattle. We'll check back in with you Monday. It's WeissWright.com, WeissWright.com. And congratulations to Joe Mannies, the newest member of the STLBeacon.org group.
All right. Take care.
All right, Dick. Talk to you next week. Have a safe trip.